Welcome back. We begin this portion on gaining spiritual answers with a thought from Emily Dickinson, quote, "The soul should always stand ajar, ready to welcome the ecstatic experience," end quote. The first important element in finding God spiritually is having a true desire to know whether God exists. Now, that might seem a bit odd to start there. The fact that you've listened this long to this series would indicate that you're already well on that path. But it's important to acknowledge that you're already exercising that faith, that you're demonstrating that desire to diligently seek God, that this isn't just a casual curiosity. The Lord has used words like desire, intent, diligence, seeking, and others on many occasions. Hebrews 11:6 declares that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Matthew 7 contains a famous verse, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." The prophet Alma challenges us to actively seek with an open mind, quote, "But behold, if you will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in a manner that ye can give place for a portion of my words," end quote. And in Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord said, "Draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. Seek me diligently, and ye shall find me." I'd like now to reference President David O. McKay, and I will several times throughout this series. I just want to mention why President McKay. First, in the spirit of transparency, he's one of my favorite topics because President McKay is my grandfather. So I have a personal interest in his life and in his journey to find God. Second, it's interesting to me that though many of us now acknowledge him as a prophet, he didn't always have a testimony of the gospel. He struggled to know, like many of us. And it was only about 10 years from the time he received a personal witness and confirmation to when he was called as an apostle at the age of 32. I find that remarkable. The third reason I'm referencing his experience is that it demonstrates that you can be even closely related to a prophet, to someone who has a strong personal relationship to God himself, and still need to find your own way and receive your own answer, as I did. And though I'm absolutely not equating myself to them, as also did Nephi, Alma the Younger, and others. Now, returning to the topic at hand, while relating his experience of finding God, President McKay conveyed not only his desire, but why it's so important. I quote, "I realized in my youth that the most precious thing a man could obtain in this life was a testimony of the divinity of this work. I hungered for it. I felt that if I could gain a testimony, all else would indeed seem insignificant. I knelt down and with all the fervor of my heart poured out my soul to God and asked Him for a testimony of this gospel," end quote. Now, chances are, unless you have an awful lot of extra time on your hands, if you're listening to this, you already have a desire to find God. That's an important first step. Be patient and diligent in nurturing that desire. Don't give up. In spite of all of his earnestness, President McKay's answer didn't come immediately, and he was at first disappointed. But when it did come, he knew it clearly, and ultimately it prepared him to fulfill an important calling for the Lord. For you, the answer may come suddenly, or it may unfold over time. Either way, it is well worth the effort and diligence to receive this most important piece of knowledge. The second element of gaining our own answer is that of pondering. I really like this thought from Susan Baumgartner, quote, "We are afraid of silence. We surround ourselves with noise, an ever-present guardian against the danger that we might accidentally have an unfiltered, conscious, introspective thought," end quote. While I was in college, I took a philosophy class that challenged every belief I had about God, including His very existence. During that time, I was working at a bank in downtown Salt Lake. To save on the cost of parking, I'd leave my car at my dad's office and walk 5 blocks to work. This was immediately following that class. I didn't plan it for this reason. I was just like any other normal college student trying to save money. But it turned out to be wonderful, valuable pondering time. I'd leave the class some days confused, not sure what to believe, with nothing to do while I was walking but reflect back on the class discussion. During that time, answers came to me that I now attribute directly to God. It was nothing dramatic, quiet, simple impressions, but at times clarity of thought came to me that answered many of the questions that I had. The importance of diligently seeking truth and pondering not only while seeking God, but throughout our whole life is significant. Not only is there value in taking time to sort out what we are learning, but it is in those quiet moments that the Spirit of God is able to communicate most effectively with us. The prophet Elijah taught that this is the way God most often speaks to us, quote, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out." End quote. The still small voice of the Lord communicates to us through feelings, impressions, and ideas. We must put ourselves in a position, however, to receive those subtle promptings. It might not be walking to work, but in an age of loud music, television, computers, cell phones, video games, and a generally fast-paced society, we have to make the effort, even plan time to slow down a bit and quietly ponder spiritual things. The prophet Joseph Smith, before receiving his first visitation from God the Father and Jesus Christ, reported that after reading James 1:5, quote, "Never did any passage of Scripture come with more power to the heart of man than did this at this time to mine. It seemed to enter with great force into every feeling of my heart. I reflected on it again and again, knowing that if any person needed wisdom from God, I did." End quote. After the Savior visited a group of inhabitants of ancient America, he told them, quote, "I perceive that ye are weak, that ye cannot understand all of my words which I am commanded of the Father to speak unto you at this time. Therefore go ye unto your homes, and ponder upon the things which I have said, and ask of the Father in my name that ye may understand, and prepare your minds for the morrow, and I come unto you again." End quote. One reason for pondering and reflection, going back to our understanding of why we're here on this earth, is that God wants us to be thinking creatures, to grow in our understanding and to use our minds. I've always appreciated that as long as I've been a member of our church, I have never once been asked to follow blindly. To the contrary, church leaders have consistently challenged us to think through these things, ponder them, and ask God to get our own confirmation. The fact that they, as special witnesses of God, have confidence that we'll get our own answers is, I think, very telling. Elder Dallin H. Oaks, in the April 2008 General Conference, said this, quote, "While there are some evidences for gospel truths," and I note that he then cites scriptures that refer to intelligent design as examples, "scientific methods will not yield spiritual knowledge. This is what Jesus taught in response to Simon Peter's testimony that he was the Christ. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Simon needed to receive his own confirmation that Christ is our Savior. Elder Oaks continues, "One of the greatest things about our Heavenly Father's plan for his children is that each of us can know the truth of that plan for ourselves. That revealed knowledge does not come from books, from scientific proof, or from intellectual pondering. As with the Apostle Peter, we can receive that knowledge directly from our Heavenly Father through the witness of the Holy Ghost." End quote. Elder Neil Anderson, in the April 2018 conference, said, quote, "Is this blind faith? No, it is not. We have the privilege to receive a personal witness that President Nelson's call is from God. While my wife Kathy has known President Nelson personally for nearly 3 decades and has no question about his divine mantle, upon his setting apart, she began reading all his General Conference talks of the past 34 years, praying for an even deeper assurance of his prophetic role. I promise you that this greater witness will come as you humbly and worthily seek it." End quote. The prophet Joseph Smith was once asked by a reporter how he could possibly govern such a diverse group as was the membership of the church. He answered, "I teach them correct principles, and they govern themselves." On another occasion, he said, quote, "There was nothing made known to these men," meaning the 12 apostles, but what will be made known to all the saints of the last days so soon as they are prepared to receive. End quote. We are not being asked to follow blindly, but to study these things out in our own minds, reflect and ponder, ask, and then get our own answer. Plan some quiet time each day during this important quest. In fact, it's a good life habit to pause often to tap into your inner wisdom and the voice of the Spirit. I've been a leadership consultant for over 30 years and feel that some of the best work I do is simply to get leaders to step out of the busyness and sometimes craziness of the business world in order to reflect and tap into their own innate wisdom regarding leading others. It is especially important, though, when you're seeking spiritual enlightenment. Looking back, if I'd been driving all the way to work with the radio blaring, running into the bank at the last minute, I would have missed a great opportunity to gain valuable promptings and insights from the source. As you reflect each day, the Spirit will take opportunities to teach you, and you will begin to recognize those promptings for what they are. As you prepare your mind to receive inspiration, insights will come not only in the quiet moments when you're seeking guidance, but at times it will surprise you. One such experience I had occurred during an anatomy class in college. I was attending a weekly lab in which we were studying cadavers. Most of the time, we'd take a body part to our table to examine it. Other times, we'd all gather around the one complete body in the lab for instruction from the assistant professor. I remember standing in the middle of a group of students one day, staring at this body on a slab in front of us, not exactly an inspiring sight, and watching the teaching assistant name the various body parts. At that moment, and this was completely unexpected or asked for, a strong impression came to me. I could tell that it wasn't from me. It felt different. It was as though someone spoke to me. I could actually make out the words, but not in my ears, rather in my mind and heart. The message was clear. It said, "This body has almost everything it needs to be a living human being. Muscles, bones, veins and arteries, nerves. But there's more, isn't there? Living beings contain a spirit. It is the spirit within us that makes us unique, that makes us alive, that makes us who we really are. You can tell that, can't you?" At that moment, I knew without any doubt that we have a spirit. I haven't doubted it since. This is the same for many other truths I have received in quiet, reflective moments. When I keep an open mind, when I reflect on spiritual matters, sometimes when I ask and sometimes when I least expect it, something speaks truths to my mind that I can tell do not come from me. I add my witness to that of millions of others that God can indeed speak to our souls. We just need to be open and ready to hear Him. I end with a well-known promise from the prophet Moroni who, though in these particular verses is challenging us to prove the validity and truthfulness of the Book of Mormon, is also providing a simple yet powerful formula for discovering and testing all truths. I'm going to share the first half of what he wrote here and the remainder in the next episode. Quote, "Behold, I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, if it be wisdom in God that ye shall read them, that you would remember how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men from the creation of Adam even down until the time that you shall receive these things, and ponder it in your hearts." End quote. Now we sometimes miss this, but Moroni is inviting us to ponder two things. First, to reflect on the content and meaning of what we've read, and second, to consider how merciful God has been to us throughout the ages. He's asking us to ponder with an attitude or a mindset of gratitude. And for those of us that don't know if there's a God yet, it might sound like, "Now, I'm not sure if you're there, God, but if you are, I'm grateful for my life, for this beautiful earth, for my many blessings." That mindset of gratitude humbles us and helps us be even more open to receiving promptings from the Spirit. Moroni ends his challenge with the wonderful promise, quote, "And by the power of the Holy Ghost ye may know the truth of all things," end quote. Literally millions have put that promise to the test and come away with their own spiritual confirmation. In the next episode, God has not only not left us alone, but He gives us an opportunity to speak with Him directly. We'll explore the power and necessity of sincere prayer. Thank you for listening.